Hi, and welcome to Sentinel Watch, where we tackle big questions from a spiritual perspective. I'm Carlos Machado. Joining us today is Ivan Vashenko from Zaporizhia, Ukraine, and currently studying in the U.S. for college. Ivan, welcome to Sentinel Watch.
Thanks so much, Carlos. Yeah, it's a huge pleasure to be here.
Well, I'm really glad to have you here with us. I heard that you've been learning about Christian Science fairly recently. Can I ask you what got you interested in Christian Science?
Yes, so while I was in Ukraine, I really didn't have any sort of spiritual journey, and I was never really concerned by my religious views or anything. Mm-hmm. But when the war started in Ukraine, it kind of shifted my mind, and I started getting this realization that there is probably some sort of power beyond me that controls some of the things that I cannot control. Mm-hmm. And once I got to the United States, in the high school where I was studying, it was Christian Science based, and I got a chance to have lots of conversations with people who've been to Christian Science for a long time, and they were sharing with me their journeys and how they had moments of healing and then how it overall helped them to have some sort of inner peace. And I decided it's probably something what I want to try for myself as well. So I just started trying to get as much knowledge as possible, you know, learn some information. And once I started getting more into it, I started realizing that, yeah, that might be something what can help me a lot with lots of the challenges that I go through in my life. And now it's my third year, kind of continue my learning. And honestly, I'm really grateful that I came across Christian Science at some point, because right now it helps me pretty much every day.
Interesting. So would you mind sharing in what ways it's helpful for you?
Of course, it's pretty challenging to keep up with the news in my home country. Mm-hmm. When you see everything going on. Like, it's heartbreaking, especially when you see something and you recognize the city, you recognize the street, or even worse, when you like recognize the street and you're like, oh, I have a friend living there. I need to check in if they're still okay. So it's difficult to accept that it's happening, and it's difficult to kind of live your life when you know it's happening over there. And also just moving to a new country like United States of America are so much different compared to Ukraine and just overall Europe in terms of culture, in terms of people's mentality, in terms of just how people communicate with each other. So it really took me some time, effort to figure out the ways how to kind of settle down here, how to get used to everything, the way it's going on here. So Christian Science was just a huge thing that I could rely on just to kind of have this faith, to have this belief, to have this, feel this God's protection, and also just to know for sure that I'm on the right path.
I'm interested in finding out a little more about what you said about being in Ukraine, and you felt like it was time to sort of turn to something bigger than yourself to find some answers before having a specific religion or before having even a specific way of thinking about it to turn to. Can you tell me a little bit more about what that felt like for you?
The moment when I kind of got my first realization of that very vividly, when I was sitting in the bomb shelter and I could hear explosions, and I kind of got this realization like that, yeah, that's, I'm not the one controlling it. So how I can know for sure that I will be fine? And that was kind of like the first moment when I started realizing that there is definitely power above me, something what actually controls everything. And of course, I didn't know anything. Like, it was just like, you know, my random thought came to my mind is like, you know, yeah, I can hear the explosions. I can hear all of those noises, but it's not actually hitting me. So what is this that is above me? And then once I started getting to know more about Christian Science, like months later after that, then we start making sense, and kind of like those moments from the past right now started making sense, because now I can actually have the real answers to what was that. And like right now, yeah, I know that what was happening then, it was like God's protection. That at the moment then I couldn't understand. I just thought that it's like happening randomly. But right now it started sort of make sense.
That's interesting. I wonder if you can articulate what God means for you now.
That's a great question. Yeah, I think I'm still on a journey to kind of figure it out. Mm-hmm. And I'm still trying to learn. But very often when I think about some sort of these questions, there is one quote that pretty much is written in every Christian Science church, which says divine love always is met and always will meet every human need. Mm. And I really like this quote specifically because it doesn't say all the human desires or what people want, mm. but human needs. Because sometimes what we want is not exactly what we need. Mm. And what we need is not necessarily what we want. And that's kind of like, because in my opinion, God is like this power that understands what we exactly need on our journey to get to the point to be like a sort of better person or be at the place where we need to be at. So that's kind of like conceptually what I like to think when I think about God or just faith in general.
Yeah, and that's interesting. And that quote is from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, written by Mary Baker Eddy, who was the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. And I like you bringing that up in the context of your experience, because it seems to me like there was a need at that moment for you to begin at least having a different perspective that could be helpful. And that message that you began hearing in that bomb shelter, that there was something else that was there protecting you. That seems like such a loving message and such a protecting thought leading you to a place where you could find answers.
Yeah. And also something what, just looking at that at the bigger picture right now, I'm realizing is it was not just one event that kind of led me to the point of the belief I have right now, but just this series of events, mm-hmm. kind of like starting with war. Then I needed to move with my mom to refugee camp in Germany, being there, kind of being hopeless about what can happen in the future. Then have this kind of getting this opportunity to come to the United States, but also having lots of sort of challenges to go through with like getting used to American culture, mentality, to figure out how to study in the not even my first or second language, because English was my third language.
Mm, wow.
So kind of lots of those challenges, and the same moment having kind of seen everything was happening just in my home country. So kind of like lots of different things kind of piled up at the same moment, and kind of I was feeling this pressure. And being like, at the moment I was 16 years old and being just a teenager who trying to go through all these challenges by himself was really complicated, I'm going to be completely honest with you. So when I started learning about Christian Science, it's something that helped me a lot to kind of find this inner peace. And like, you didn't really ask this question, but I love to share this story about how I actually got introduced to Christian Science is through a concept that gratitude is also like the form of prayer. Mm-hmm. So I was trying, like sometime in the end of 2022, everything seemed pretty rough, honestly. So, and I was trying to find a way how I can make it better. Just how can I find this, feel the inner peace? So I talked to one of my friends who was a born and raised Christian Scientist, and he shared this concept of gratitude with me. And that's something what kind of helped me a lot to kind of start realizing that, yeah, there are so many things that happening that are wrong, that are probably not the way they're supposed to be. But at the same time, there are so many things that actually showing me that there is always hope for the better future. Mm. So there was like those moments as I was practicing my gratitude every day, pretty much, I started realizing that there are probably even more about Christian Science what might help me. So that's kind of how I get to the point of my belief that I have right now. I would say I saw how Christian Science is helping me to feel a little happier, feel a little more confident with who I am right now, being a little more confident in terms of what's going on in my life and having like this some sort of hope for the better future. So that like just overall every day I feel right now, I probably said it multiple times, like inner peace, but that's so true. Like that's something what I feel right now, because for like, as I've been trying to learn more about Christian Science for past 3 years, you can really find this inner peace and be way more confident, happier, and not be as, I would say, depressed as I used to be. Probably it's probably not the right wording to say it, but that's just the way I feel it, I would say.
Yeah, just that feeling of helplessness, I would imagine.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have to tell you, I am so impressed with your story. I'm trying to learn a third language right now and just cannot imagine trying to do that and just having to do it and adjusting to a new culture while, you know, going through all the things that you were going through. That's just so impressive. And I'll speak for me personally. I mean, demonstrating that sense of inner peace, like you called it, even hopefulness, seems like a major victory to me. I'm interested in what you mentioned about having this newfound practice of gratitude in your life. I wonder if you could tell me a little bit more about what that entails and why you found that to be important for you.
Yeah, so I was able to find it especially helpful for me in my case when I thought that everything in my life was going not the way I probably would like it to go. And I thought that everything is just way harder than it's supposed to be. And I just tried something. What I tried to do was just like to try to notice good things in my life. And every time before, like in the evening before going to sleep, I would try to name 5 things that I'm grateful for. And when I just started it, I couldn't really tell any difference. I couldn't really tell that it was helpful for me because I would not really put too much effort into it. I would just name 5 things and I would forget about it.
Yeah.
But as I was trying to take it more and more deeply and try to actually sort of master this skill of being grateful, I noticed that like a couple of weeks into doing that, I would spend like 10 minutes to name 5 things that I'm grateful for, because I would start going into details in terms of like, I'm grateful that this happened because it made me feel a certain way, because it helped me to go through the day, because it helped me with some of the struggles and challenges I had. And as I was doing it, it just changed my perspective about everything what's going on. I mean, like, yeah, there are still some sort of challenges. There are still some of the things that are not going my way. But at the same time, there are so many things that I'm grateful for and that I'm just so glad to have in my life. And that really just helped me to stay a sort of hopeful and just have this inner peace that I should be just keep doing whatever I'm doing, try to do all the best work I possibly can, and just staying hopeful, staying grateful for everything what I already have. So that was kind of something what helped me a lot. And that was like, I would say, the first form of prayer I personally practiced.
Yeah, there was a time where I started doing that too. And at first it was hard to come up with a few things to be grateful for, you know, or just enough, because I wanted to do, you know, 10 or 20 or something like that. But then it was like, that was such an easy thing to do. And it's almost like I had to decide of like when to stop, you know. And I think I was just finding that it was almost like I was seeing things that I wasn't seeing before.
Yeah, absolutely. Building up on what you just said, I can totally see like becoming more observative about what's going on around myself. And I started like accentuating things around me, like something what before I would never pay attention to that. But now I was like, oh, that's the great thing that happened. And I definitely need to be grateful for it. So that's, I can totally see you just being, start noticing things that usually you wouldn't notice because you were not really paying attention to it. But as you start practicing gratitude.
It's your eyes were a little bit more open.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Did you at the time connect this good to God in some way? Or even looking back on it now, what do you see as the connection there?
In somewhat, yeah, I would say that, of course, probably like sometimes at the very, very moment, I wouldn't be like, oh, that's God who's doing that. But then as I was reflecting more on it, kind of like coming back to those events and seeing like everything, like trying to read between the lines, I started kind of explaining to myself that, yeah, that God's behind it. But it took me some sort of time of reflection first to understand it, to kind of fully understand that it was God behind it. Before that, it was just like me thinking like, oh yeah, there's just like things go this way and I just should be grateful for those things.
I'm interested in learning a little bit more about the fact that you said that you had no spiritual background when you were back in Ukraine. And here you make almost this 180 degree turn and now, you know, are speaking on a podcast about Christian Science, about your experience with it. Did you have any hesitation going into it, or anything kind of giving you pause from the perspective of not having had any religious belief to sort of diving into a spiritual journey?
Honestly, at that point of life, I could not really hesitate about anything, because coming from the war, being in a refugee camp, I thought that like if I hesitate right now, that might not probably impact my life in the best ways in the future. So I probably should just, whatever is there for me, I just should accept it, just say yes and try it out. And who knows, what if it's like something what actually might help me? And that's ended up happening exactly the way I thought, because I was 100% open to learn something new. I was 100% open to go to the place with Christian Science community, something what I've never heard about before. And it turned out to be just a great place for me, something what I'm really grateful for right now. And like the main reason why I even decided to come to the place where I am at right now, not even just because it was Christian Science community, but just because how much support and empathy I felt from the people who I communicated from this community. There was one person, he was my sort of point of contact. And at the moment when I was trying to apply, he was in Ukraine. And he was sharing with me like in what places he was. And it was like, those places are pretty much in the battle line. It's very dangerous places. Mm-hmm. And I asked him a question, like, why are you doing that? And he said, because people there need help and I want to help. And I was like, so if that's someone who's representing the Christian Science community, I probably want to be part of that community. If it's a community with such a great values and just empathy for people who are having those needs for help. So that's kind of like, that was the moment of realization for me that, yeah, probably should try it out and see if it's going to be something what going to help me. And of course, when I first got into Christian Science community and I went to the first Sunday school class and like everything was so like lots of new concepts, lots of new things that I've never heard before, like Science Tale with Kiddush Scriptures, never heard about their book before. Like just the fact that like in the beginning of the service, we all were singing hymns and I was like, wow, it doesn't really make sense to me. But right now as I'm like got more into it, it's like, oh yeah, now it makes perfect sense.
Hearing your story is making me think there's a quote in the Bible that says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I find your example so inspirational to just follow that leading of divine mind, divine love, follow that message from God and just run with it.
What you just said reminded me of the quote that I just recently found out about. It was when we went on a trip to Boston and I visited Mrs. Baker Eddy house when she used to live there in the squad, faith without works is dead. And I love this one because it's like, yeah, you gotta believe, but at the same time you gotta work towards whatever your goal is. So that's kind of like the way I like to think about it.
Yeah, that's so interesting. So it's almost like I'm thinking about it in terms of that faith was that initial calling, you know, to find that higher view and sort of that calling that it seems like you've had into having more of a spiritual journey. And then the work that you've put into it to bring that into your life and understand more about it. And it seems definitely like that's something that's been rewarded, you know, you doing your part and diving into it. And I just love that. I just wonder if you can speak a little bit more about maybe how you think about that decision.
Yeah, I think just in my case, the things that usually used to work for me until that point kind of just stopped working. And I realized that there should be something else what can help me and people around me and like my family, my close friends. So that's why kind of like this something else became a faith for me, and just having a faith into something, like having a faith in God. So I was like, why shouldn't I try and see if it's something what might help me or not? And what I've seen so far was enough for me to understand that it's something what I should believe in and something what I should apply to my life, because it's something that's helping me every day. So for me, it was kind of like the journey of understanding the concepts better, understanding myself better, understanding my relations with God better. So that was kind of like the reason why the all work that I saw that I've done so far, that made me understand that is definitely something what helps me a lot and something what I should kind of stick to, because it's just been nothing but a blessing for me so far.
That's wonderful. Thank you for sharing that with us. And I know there are a lot of people around the world that are praying for this situation in Ukraine. There's a lot of people praying about a lot of situations in other parts of the world as well. What would your message be to those who are praying about those conflicts and these situations around the world? What would you say to them?
When I think about like global issues like wars and everything else what's happening in the world right now, I like to think of the concept that there is not such a thing like a small impact, mm-hmm. that every impact is significant, and we all can do something good to help either people around us or people in other places that are suffering right now. And one of the ways to do it, of course, prayer, like just by sending good thoughts there, praying for good might get the results that you're not expecting to get. So I would really do not underestimate the power of the, even like, as I said, there is not such a thing like a small impact. Everything what you do can have a significant impact, and it might help someone like a lot, mm-hmm. and you might get the results that you would never expect to see. So my message would be to do not underestimate your thoughts, do not underestimate your actions, and whatever you can do to help, believe me, that's enough.
Ivan, thank you so much for sharing these ideas with us. I've enjoyed our conversation, and I'm just so impressed by your story and grateful for what you're doing in your prayers and what you're doing in sharing your story for the rest of us to learn from. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thanks so much, Carlos. Yeah, it was a huge honor to speak with you today.
Ivan Vashenko is originally from Zaporizhzhia, Ukraine, and is currently studying in the United States for college. After my conversation with Ivan, we received a Daily Lift submission from Norm Bleichman, and we saw some similarities between my conversation with Ivan and what Norm was talking about in his submission. And our executive producer, Amy Richmond, thought to reach out to Norm and actually show him the conversation that I had had with Ivan. And after Amy talked to Norm, she said, Carlos, you gotta talk to Norm too. So Norm, I'm glad we're getting a chance to chat here. Welcome to Sentinel Watch.
Thank you. Great to be here, Carlos.
I'm super excited that you're here with us. Before we get into your thoughts about my conversation with Ivan, I'm wondering if you wouldn't mind sharing with our listeners the story that you submitted in that Daily Lift submission about praying for protection in a war zone yourself.
Sure. I was in a frighteningly similar situation decades earlier in my military service. I was stationed in Vietnam at a supply depot 3 miles south of the demilitarized zone. Mm. Our company was charged with sending food, munitions, and other supplies to U.S. Army and Marine troops that were stationed inland. What we didn't count on, at least I didn't, was the intensity of resistance from the North Vietnamese. Every night for the first several months of my tour, our base took incoming rocket and mortar attacks launched from beyond the DMZ.
Oh, wow.
There was no warning siren. There was no advance notice. We just hear the first round explode near our hutch where we were sleeping, and then we just scramble to get underground in a bunker, wow. A bomb shelter for protection. It was random. It was unnerving and, you know, chaotic. And it went on every night for several months. So, you know, I'd had military training in the States. Nothing prepared me for this degree of terror and uncertainty. But I had been raised in Christian Science and was aware of a sense of divine safety that was beyond human manpower and weapons. And those were the ideas that came clearly to my thought during that time. And one was the concept that God, that I had learned about in Sunday school, was only good. Mm-hmm. An all-powerful, ever-present being governing us all and able to protect us whatever the situation was that we were in. And then for me personally, that was one verse from the Bible's 91st Psalm was particularly relevant. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, even though the terror was, as I said, unpredictable and random mm-hmm. and continuous. That promise, the whole 91st Psalm, God's protection, his refuge, his availability in any situation, And even though I couldn't feel it exactly, mm-hmm. I had to take it as a basic truth because I'd studied it my whole life. I'd had healings based mm-hmm. on that. Mm-hmm. So I had to hold to that. And I was gradually able to, what I would say, experience some peace of mind, although the outward situation didn't change. Well, thankfully, after several months, the nightly attack ceased. And I was grateful that throughout my year's tour, our base experienced no fatalities.
Wow.
So that was what affected me, just picturing Yvonne, in a way, going through it. But then I thought of some differences in our experiences. In my case, I was thousands of miles from my home, 7,000 miles away, in a conflict with an enemy, an opponent I would never meet.
Right.
Yvonne, on the other hand, is in his own home country, I guess his own hometown, being assaulted by a force that he was not unfamiliar with, spoke a similar language, had many cultural and historical connections. It's hard for me to imagine what that was like. I mean, in my case, it was impersonal.
Yeah.
In his, it just seemed so much different. And then there was another contrast that actually turns out to be insignificant. Yvonne, by his testimony, his experience, knew nothing of the specific principles of Christian Science, whereas I had studied them for over 20 years.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But the resulting protection and deliverance were the same for both of us. So what I took from that was the feeling the presence and the power of a supreme being, God. It doesn't depend upon where you are, your location, your situation, or how many years you've studied. It's there, instantly accessible to anybody with a searching and receptive thought. I mean, isn't that what Yvonne's experience brought out? My grounding in the divine principle that I'd learned in Christian Science delivered me from that chaos and anxiety and gave me peace of mind and allowed me to return home safely. Always been grateful for that. Yvonne's intuition of a higher power and his innate desire for a better, safer life, although it wasn't based on a specific faith tradition,
mm-hmm.
gave him, as he said, also inner peace and eventually led him to a whole new experience in a new world. So for both of us, it was the same God, the same desire, and the same divine response.
Yeah.
God isn't aware of persons and situations. He's 24/7 available to all of his creation. And why would we doubt that each individual idea might not feel that?
Mm.
I mean, we read continually in the writings of Christian Science about our inseparability from God, the unity we have with his love and wisdom and protection. And why would we think for a moment, well, Yvonne doesn't know about Christian Science or even God. It's not up to Yvonne. It's not up to me or you. God is the all power, constantly, irrepressibly expressing himself to each of his ideas. And Yvonne, like a radio, just tuned in.
Mm.
He was searching for something and he tuned in and he heard what he needed to know. If God is mind and is expressing that intelligence and wisdom to each of his ideas, you're going to get it. And I love that was not only Yvonne's intuitive sense, but he was receptive to it. He listened.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And understood what was really happening.
Yeah. You said something like God is not seeing persons or situations. I just went back to your submission because it reminded me of a quote that you had from Mary Baker Eddy. She's the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. And she says, Christian scientists firmly subscribe to this statement that God, the divine principle of Christian science, is of purer eyes than to behold evil. And that's a quote from the Bible. I wonder what you would say to somebody who thinks, well, you know, if God's not really seeing people or situations or even evil, why would you even pray to God in a situation where it looks like there's a whole lot of evil around you?
Yeah. Well, as a Christian scientist, I go back to our prime example, Christ Jesus, in his life and healing mission. Mm. He was confronted with, my goodness, so many instances throughout his, especially his three-year ministry, of lack and danger and, you know, hey, a crucifixion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did he ever acknowledge that as a reality? When somebody who was blind from his birth was presented to him, did he say, I don't know. The guy at the pool of Bethesda, he knew the guy was there 38 years.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't look at time or the human situation. Jesus only saw the perfection of God's creation. And of course, that's what God sees.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of your shows, you do talk about Jesus as the master example, the way shower. And that's what we need to do. If we're going to follow his example, don't ever lose sight of the good. Bless your enemies. Love them that curse you.
And it seems pretty clear to me from Jesus' story that focus on the good, that focus on God, you know, did bring about solutions. You know, it showed a different reality based on goodness that was there.
Yes. And by following his example, by looking at whatever confronts us, seeing past the divisiveness, the conflict, the hatred, the lack or limitation, and seeing God's abundance and his goodness, we should and will have the same results that Jesus did.
Hmm. I think this is some really interesting ground. I want to go back to your story. And you said that there was a time where you started praying about your situation. And you said you can't imagine what Yvonne went through. I frankly can't imagine what either of you have gone through. But you were being bombed, you were being attacked. And then you said that you felt a peace of mind and nothing had changed around you. I think this maybe gets to the bottom of why you thought that peace of mind was actually something that was having an effect in your situation. But I want to see if we can make that clear for our listeners. Why did you think in that moment, as you're praying and you're getting a peace of mind about this situation, if nothing is changing around you, why did you think that was doing something?
Well, I'd had many healings before as a student of Christian science, beginning to understand the principles of what I was reading and studying.
Mm-hmm.
I had healings.
Mm.
I had prayed before. I had affirmed a good God taking care of me. I had prayed using the principles that I had learned, and I had been healed, rescued, and protected in many instances. So even though I'd never gone through mortar shells exploding near me, I knew that an ever-present, only good God was there and would show protection.
Mm.
And he did. So it wasn't a reach for me. And that's why I appreciate even more what Yvonne went through.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe he had some instances of making right decisions and getting right directions, but he didn't connect it, at least at that time, with a supreme being. And yet his intuitive sense that there was something bigger than his own ability to protect himself is what got him to where he is today.
Yeah, I mean, what it makes me think about is, you know, I think when I was talking with Yvonne, I had this sense that sense of peace, it just seems like it was powerful. It was powerful enough to quell the fear of what was happening then and to just be a stronger voice and say, you know, there is something else going on here and I've got this.
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, when the shelling, the incoming stopped every night, we'd go back to where we were staying, get in bed. And by the way, every night when we got into bed, we wore our boots. Never took our boots off, because we knew that when the incoming was happening, you just automatically start scrambling for the door, and you needed to have your boots on. You weren't going to stop and put them on. Anyway, we'd go back, and then the next day we'd be doing our business, and then night came. And for me, it wasn't, uh-oh, when's it going to happen? Is anybody going to get hurt? I mean, as I said, it was a gradual sense of peace of mind. And day by day, night by night, that protection was demonstrated. And, you know, I didn't speak about it with my fellow military guys. Mm-hmm. It was just something I appreciated. I'd seen it in the past, back in the world, back in peacetime. And it was just a continuation. And that year in Vietnam, I don't think about it every day, but it was a highlight. It wasn't a dreaded time. And it's interesting. When I got back home and started life in the world, as we said, I thought, wow, I've made it through that year. Nothing is going to be as bad as that. You know what? There have been challenges, family relations, supply, professional decisions that have seemed just as combative as that, even though there were there were explosions of tempers and such. But it was just a step in proving to me dramatically God's ever-present protection. And I continue to reach for that today.
That's wonderful, Norm. You and I both know that there are a lot of war zones around the world right now. And I think it's not unlikely that somebody in a war zone will listen to this podcast. And I think they'll get a lot of inspiration and just some practical steps forward from your story and from Yvonne's. I also know that there are thousands of people that will listen to this who are aware of what's going on in the world and they want to make a difference. I'm wondering how you're praying about the current world conflicts and if there's anything that you would like to leave our listeners with to help in their prayers.
I've almost completely shut myself off from the sensational news that's going on. I read the Christian Science Monitor, Daily Monitor, and go deeply when I can into each story. But if it is true, and I so believe it is, that God has created each of his ideas equally good, equally free, and with a right to have their voice heard, I am challenged by people in different countries, in political parties that are doing things that I find at times reprehensible. And my challenge is to not exclude them from God's care, from his embrace, from the fact that his love can be felt in their lives and they can see it and express it wherever they are. And I try in my prayers every morning to see that unity and brotherhood, sisterhood in the world, and won't get out of bed until I feel it. So it's not a one and done thing. It's something that's going on every day. So I would ask anybody, never let go of the fact that we're all brothers and sisters on this planet and we need to love each other. And I mean, again, we go back to Jesus' example. He said, love your enemies. Oh my goodness. If we could do that, think of how many conflicts that we're seeing and reading about now would dissipate.
Yeah, I know you're not the only one experiencing this challenge. I'll include myself in it. And I want to thank you for the very honest answer, Norm. And I want to thank you for your prayers and for taking the time to share your story with us here on Sentinel Watch. Thanks so much for being here.
Can I just add, on another level, Yvonne's experience resonated with me. And here's why. A century ago, my father and his family also fled from Ukraine.
Oh, wow.
They escaped the violence of Russia under the Tsarist regime. My father, like Yvonne, was in his late teens and early 20s when he and his family overcame many obstacles, roadblocks, political red tape, and eventually made their way to freedom in America. Now, it's something I've always known about, obviously, but Yvonne's testimony, his experience, gave me a renewed appreciation for what that meant back then for my dad and what it continues to mean for me and my family today. And I would say, Yvonne, let me just say spasiba. Thank you. Bolshoi spasiba. Many thanks for sharing your experience, because it not only affirmed God's ever-present protection, but it also highlighted your spiritual journey. Thank you, Yvonne.
Norm, I love that connection. We didn't even know that that connection existed when we asked you to talk with me here. I've been speaking with Norm Bleichman, and you've been listening to Sentinel Watch, a production of the Christian Science Sentinel. I'm Carlos Machado. The podcast is produced by me, Sophie Ungerleiter, and our executive producer, Amy Richmond. Our editor is Ethel Baker. Our audio engineers are Tim Malone, Noel Flatt, Alyssa Britton, and Jeff Turton. Our theme music is by Jonah Bobo. See you next week.
This podcast is produced and copyrighted by the Christian Science Publishing Society.